Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on a Wednesday. It is a winky Wednesday. My guest today, Nick Winkler. We'll get into a little free agency buzz. 49ers might be working hard behind the scenes, even though we haven't seen any actual evidence of what exactly is happening. But you know they're doing work. They're putting in time watching film of draft prospects, trying to get ready for this free agency to open. The collective bargaining agreement hanging over the whole league's head right now. There are more dates that are continuing to be pushed back. The franchise tag deadline pushed back again. So it's going to be a very condensed situation once this thing gets figured out for teams to do what they need to do to get ready and roll when the new league opens on March 18th. So next week, we should get a lot more news. I thought we'd get more news this week, but the vote has not happened yet for the players. That's been pushed back. We'll get into all that stuff, of course, a mailbag with today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, how are you, my friend?
Feeling good, buddy, feeling good. I mean, I'll be honest, a little bit bummed that all these dates keep getting pushed back.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to them. I have them on my calendar. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to check Twitter all day. Oh, okay, got pushed back. Oh, all right, because there's not a whole lot going on right now in the world of sports for me. So yeah, this is bumming. I'm not lying.
Yeah, for me the same, because I need to report on the 49ers every day,
right?
And there's a lack of hard news to get into, and we're a lot of speculation right now. We're in that season, and there's players getting mad at media members that are reporting stuff that they say isn't true. And so it's like everyone's just waiting to see what the heck is going to go on with this. It was supposed to be Thursday was the deadline for the players' vote of the new collective bargaining proposal. And then that was also the same day that the franchise tag deadline was. Now they've both been moved back. I think it's Saturday for the players to vote, so a few extra days. And now it's the 16th for the franchise tag deadline, which is also the first day that the legal tampering period opens. So teams aren't even going to learn about who's available to tamper with until the tags go down, which is the same day. Then they have to figure out who they're going to tamper with and then try to get people signed when the new league year opens on March 18th with free agency. So it's going to be a very condensed situation for those teams and players, and just don't know what to think and don't know what to make of what's happening. And I'm sure it's difficult for the players, it's difficult for agents, difficult for teams. And then what happens if the CBA doesn't get ratified? Then you're playing with a different set of rules. So you really don't know what the heck's going to happen in the next week or so.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned the CBA, and I love former 49er Eric Reed. I follow him on Twitter. He's just a great poster, and he posted basically like some bullet points of all of the.
I saw that.
And I read them all. I read through it, and man, I feel like they're really trying to rush this through. And then you hear the threat of like, oh yeah, the owners actually want them to vote no so that they can push for an 18 game season and this and that. And it's like, oh man, this is all headed towards a direction of a work stoppage. And I don't like that one bit, man.
The one reason why I believe the vote will go through is because the loud voices we're hearing are popular players,
sure,
that have, that have the social media that you're following, but that's a fraction of the players that are actually voting on it. So it's the players that are at the bottom of the roster, guys that can't afford to be losing paychecks,
right,
guys that are getting helped out quite a bit by the new CBA that might be for it more so than some of the vocal folks that we hear from a lot, and guys like Eric Reed and Richard Sherman and Aaron Rodgers and J.J. Watt, who are kind of against it. And those other players might be saying, well, look, this is great for you to hold out for more, but this is my livelihood. I'm trying to hang on here and make a team, and I can make a little bit of money now while I can, and I'm not trying to line your pockets. You guys are already mega rich and have these crazy mega contracts. So there might be a lot of people we're not hearing from that like the deal that are going to vote for it. So it's just hard to know until the vote actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, the vast majority of NFL players don't make that superstar kind of money. So if you're talking about an extra game with an extra paycheck, yeah, I can see why they would easily be like, yep, check, sign me up, I'm in, more money, yes, please.
One of the interesting bullet points from the Eric Reed tweet that you're talking about was about the new TV contracts and how those,
yes,
factor in. And then at the same time, you don't want those TV contracts. Let's say you don't ratify it and you wait. What if the TV contracts are actually less because,
right,
they have smaller budgets because the economy tanks because of coronavirus or the, you know, the elections or whatever, you know, weird things can happen and that have already started to happen with the economy and the stock market. What if now it's not going to, the NFL is not going to be in trouble or anything like that, but it's like, right. What if it's, the outlook is just not quite as good 6 months later when they vote for it again, then maybe the offer is worse from the league, or maybe that they know what the TV contract is going to look like. It's not as big, but at the same time, you have to negotiate that in knowing that they still have to, and it's all about the TV contract. That's the biggest piece of the pie for the NFL, right? So you have that leverage if you're players, because you know that you're valuable to the league to be able to sell that to the networks when they're working out their TV contracts. So it's crazy, and that could go both ways if you hold on. It could be better. It could be worse in the future for you. I don't know what to think about it. I'm not a lawyer. Eric Reed's lawyer was the one that made those bullet points, and it does really make you think, and there's a lot of angles to this, and there's really no perfect right answer. It's just like, for a fan, you're like, let's get this done and have some NFL football, because that's the worst thing. Like, that's the worst possible outcome, is some sort of a work stoppage.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it as a fan. You know, we obviously want it done, and we hear, oh, extra game. Yeah, that's great. Oh, extra playoff game at each division? Like, yeah, or each conference? Like, yeah, let's do that. Please, please. And then you think, like, wait, this is people's livelihood. You know, it's, as fans, it's a lot easier to sit here and be like, just sign the damn thing. You know, what are you guys doing?
I don't have to get my head beat in. Go ahead, man. I'll just turn on the TV and I'll do my job and then watch you do your job, and you'll be limping for the rest of the life, the rest of your life. That's cool. But no, but so I totally see why the players would want fewer games. And
sure.
And it's funny, a little bit of the same note. I talked yesterday on the podcast with Kyle Posey of Niners Nation. And I don't know if you noticed the little Twitter battle. It wasn't really much of a battle, but it was like people were mad at Kyle because he reported something that he heard and he's standing by what he heard. And then Emmanuel Sanders is like, no, I haven't been offered anything yet. We haven't even had any talks. And so if you guys want to go back and listen to that podcast and hear what that was all about with Emmanuel Sanders, but it's just like a fan is like, let's have more games. This is great. This is awesome. And fans also want their players to take a pay cut to play for their team, you know? And it's just like, it's not realistic. It's like, look, Emmanuel Sanders is going to get as much money as he can, and he might be able to get more money from somebody else than he can the 49ers, and he might be the top free agent on the market. So you do have to prepare yourself to lose some free agents. Eric Armstead's the same way. It's like, well, maybe he wants to play with his old college buddy. Maybe he wants to play with the 49ers in Northern California, where he grew up in Sacramento. I think he went to Elk Grove High. Maybe he wants to stay. Maybe he'll take a little bit less, but he might not want to take a little bit less. He might be able to get more money somewhere else, and you have to be prepared for that. And as a fan, you always expect, hey, who wouldn't want to play for the 49ers for less? And it's like, well, maybe these players don't want to, and you can't expect that, and you can't get mad if they don't want to take less to play for you.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think of it in other terms. You know, you just kind of compare it. Like, let's say, you know, you're a checker at Safeway. You know, and you've got a great family and you've been there a year and everything went great. You won store of the year, you know, you got all these accolades and everything. And then Costco comes and knocks on the door and like, hey, we got better benefits. We got more money for you over here. And then, of course, you're going to go take that job. Like, of course you are. You're not going to be like, no, I'm going to take less money to stay at this other job, you know, just because I like the people there. It's like, no, you're going to go where the money is, because you're going to provide for yourself and provide for your family and do what's really in your best interest. So, yeah, it's easy to sit here and be like, take less money and stay and win a championship. And it's like, well, do you really get that much more money for winning a championship? Or could you go get millions more somewhere else? Like, you can't hold that against somebody.
Yeah, then Sally comes in, little old lady, for her groceries the next week. And she's like, well, where'd Rob go? I used to love Rob, the checker. And you're like, oh, actually got more money at Costco. And she's like, oh, what an asshole. I can't believe he left. Yeah.
He was the worst. I'm actually glad he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. And then they hate, well, I can open up. I can say what I really felt about this guy now.
She burns her Rob name tag that she likes to wear.
Yeah. I get it, man. She wears the apron. Oh, that's hilarious. Anyway, all right. Let's get to some of these mailbag questions, shall we?
Sounds good.
Oh, here we go. Nick, let's start with this. Did you see the new Rams logo, the Rams hat?
Yes, I did.
What are these teams thinking? You got to run this by some people before you drop something. Actually, I guess they didn't officially drop it. It was a leak, so they can kind of, they'll probably now be like, oh, yeah, that wasn't real. You know, they can kind of pretend they weren't.
Somebody hacked us, and that was one of 15 logo ideas we had.
Imagine, though.
It was probably an intentional leak.
just to see, yeah, instead of doing a focus group. Imagine if they didn't leak it, though, and they were just like, hey, surprise, draft day, look at these new hats. Someone,
I mean, I love it. As like an NFC West rival. It's great.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah.
You look hideous.
The 49ers almost did that in the past. Remember that funky 49ers logo?
Yeah.
I think it was early 90s, right?
Eddie DeBartolo, right?
Yeah. And that was, it's like, come on, man. What are you doing?
What were you thinking? Yeah.
Let's go to Ted. He says, assuming we will trade Goodwin, do you think we will trade Dante Pettis too?
What's Dante Pettis worth at this point?
What's Goodwin worth? What do you think a guy who caught... So Pettis and Goodwin combined.
Speed at least, right?
Well, Goodwin's got speed and he's put up numbers in the NFL and he's a veteran.
Sure. Pettis hasn't.
But Goodwin's making like $5 million a year. Would he get $5 million on the open market? Could a team just go sign somebody for less that's pretty close to his good or that... put up more than 12 catches last year. Combined, Pettis and Goodwin caught 23 balls. I think 12 and 11 passes. And I don't know what you can get for Pettis. At least he's younger and cheaper, so maybe a team that liked him not that long ago in the draft is like, oh, yeah, we liked him in the draft. He can be our number three wide receiver. You know, let's give him a shot. It would be a late-round pick, I think, in either scenario.
Mm.
At most, I just don't see much value in either player coming back. That's just... the way I'm looking at it. And Pettis was literally not, he didn't wear a uniform the last time the 49ers played a game, the most important game of his life, of his coach's life. And he decided we don't need this guy to even have a uniform on. He was a healthy scratch for the Super Bowl. How much value can that player have?
Yeah. And that was going into a season too, where there was a lot of expectations and a lot of, you know, hype around this guy. It's like this is going to be his breakout year. We saw flashes of it his rookie season, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, he fell flat on his face. So I honestly don't see any value in Dante Pettis at all. At least with Goodwin, you've got that world-class speed. You know, you've got that guy that can take the top off of a defense very easily, and he can fit in any system. You know, speed, you can't teach speed. Yeah, that's something that this guy you put on the outside, you just have him run deep. That's going to open up a lot of things for any offense. I think that I'm with you. I still don't think it's worth more than, you know, a late round pick. But at this point, I don't see bringing him back. You know, I don't see that happy. That's a lot of money that the 49ers need to free up to not only re-sign some of their guys, but, you know, to bring in some guys to fill some gaps as well.
It's wild because those two players were the penciled in starters coming into 2019 and they caught 23 combined passes. It's That's also crazy. A lesson in you never, like, we think we know exactly what this roster is and what it looks like and what it's going to look like. Like, that could change so quickly. Imagine the starters. The two guys we think are going to be starting wide receivers catch a combined 23 passes, right? I mean, that's crazy to think that's what happened. And they went to the Super Bowl.
Right. And who was essentially their starting running back in the Super Bowl? Raheem Mostert.
Right. Yeah, exactly. He was a gunner.
Crazy.
He was a gunner in the third or fourth running back on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, Breida didn't even take a snap in the backfield, did he?
No, he did not. You know what? He might have.
Jeff Wilson got some play in the backfield.
I think he might have been on the field for one snap. I can't remember.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
It was early in
but
the game.
But regardless, you know, coming into the season, you and I were like, Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida. Tevin Coleman, Matt Breida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, man. I love it. I love football.
Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah. There was always that wild card, too. Oh, he's going to be healthy this year. He's looking good. He's looking explosive.
I can't find it right now. There's always a bunch of questions about Jerick McKinnon, what the 49ers are going to do. And I kind of always forget he's even on the roster because he's never played for the 49ers.
He's such a wild card.
But he's 100% not going to stay on the 49ers roster at his current number.
Correct.
So he's either going to get cut or has to restructure his contract. I don't even know what you can expect. I would expect that he gets cut. I just don't see really any other way. And they have until April 1st, his contract becomes guaranteed. The longer he doesn't restructure, makes me think he's going to get cut.
Yeah, there's no way he's coming back at that current rate. Right. I mean, and if he doesn't restructure, like, every 49er fan is going to hate that name for the rest of time. Let's be real.
Yeah, I can
hit
see
him
that.
A lot of money to do nothing for 2 years.
And too much money from the start.
To begin with.
Yeah.
You're right.
What were you thinking paying him that much money? And he was sort of a backup player, third down back, and you're paying him starters money? The 49ers, when you count fullback too, the 49ers pay more money than any team for their running backs.
That's crazy.
And their two best running backs were undrafted free agents. That
That's like the ultimate anti-Peacock.
Oh, it's insane.
Too.
Yeah. Well, and at least they have the best fullback in the NFL. They pay him twice as much as the next fullback, but they do have the best fullback in the NFL. And he's pretty valuable.
Worth it.
And fullbacks don't get paid that much. So when you consider he's the best, the highest paid fullback, it's still only $5 million. And the next highest is paid two something, right? But then when you count McKinnon and Coleman, I mean, that's like what Zeke is being paid.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? So that's what, $13 million, right? 12 or 8 and 5 is what those two players are being paid. So you could pay the best running back in the league for that.
I mean, Zeke almost also cost him what, a fourth round pick? Or fourth, no, overall pick?
A fourth overall, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's expensive right there, too.
Yeah, it is. John in SoCal says, never got this answered. All right, John, we're going to answer your question here. I hope you like it. D. Ford mentioned when he was injured that his chronic tendonitis was something he would have to deal with and was looking to have surgery to clean it up this offseason. Have you heard anything about it? No, from what I understand, he's not going to have surgery on it. It's just chronic tendonitis that he's going to have to deal with. And that's it. I haven't heard about any surgery for D. Ford. Have you, Nick?
I'm not going to answer just because he said he never got an answer.
Yeah, you know what, John? Screw you. You don't get an answer. I'm trying to look it up right now. I haven't.
He's got to be under the radar. He's not like Kendrick Bourne is tweeting stuff out every day, which I love.
One of the things with Emmanuel Sanders clapping back at Calipozzi about that tweet, and I've seen it a lot with Eric Armstead, is a lot of these guys name search themselves, which is,
yeah,
it seems
they
like
do. Eric Armstead for sure.
Armstead 100% does. How do they have the time?
Well, I mean, you're just working out and that's it, right? Probably playing video games and,
yeah,
and
between
yourself on the
between
internet.
Sets. They're like, they get a, like, imagine your phone dinging every time someone says your name. As
Brian,
a
what do you do on the toilet?
Oh, I name search, but I'm not a professional
athlete.
Yeah,
right? That's just standard issue. Sit down, type your name into Twitter.
I name search you, Nick. Do you want to hear all the things that have been said about Nick Winkler on Twitter
today?
Oh,
you think I don't know? I said most of them. Burner accounts, baby.
Oh, jeez. Here we go. February 9th. D. Ford not expected to have off-season knee surgery.
Okay, there we go.
So, yeah, not happening.
That was a month ago, but that's okay.
Yeah, come on, John. Read the damn newspaper.
Oh, no. Do we have a new mark?
No.
Okay, good. Phew.
But no, I realize that I'm here for people like that. If I don't say it, then it didn't happen, which is kind of cool.
Like,
so I'm sorry, John, and I'm sorry.
Respect,
I let some of you folks down that I did not report that bit of news, and I don't think I reported it, actually. But so that's my bad. John, thank you for calling me out. Nick, if I miss any news during the week, I know you listen to every episode twice on your way to work and then again on your way back home so you don't miss anything. Let me know when
toilet.
I skip something
I'm doing
like that.
That while I'm searching my name.
No surgery for D. Ford. Speaking of searching your name, did you hear the podcast from earlier this week with the question about you? One listener was like, man, I Googled Nick Winkler. Where'd this guy come from? Why do you have him on your podcast every week? Did you hear that one?
Nice. No, that's wonderful. I like that.
You got to start listening to the podcast, dude.
I know. How'd I miss that one?
I just said dude twice in the same sentence.
Dude, that's awesome. Why do you have me on, man? What are you thinking?
Well, first of all, this person must not have watched TV in the last 20 years to see you on the Wheel of Fortune, to see you on what are the call letters on the Monterey TV station?
KSBW, Price is Right,
Sports Anchor, Price is Right. Come on, they don't
heard
know Nick Winkler.
KMBR, KSB, or KCBS. No big deal.
Did you not listen to the radio in the Bay Area over the last 15 years? Maybe
apparently
they didn't
not.
Recognize you from TV because didn't you shave your head completely?
That was for Wheel of Fortune. Yeah, I was totally. And it was the year 2000. So maybe you missed that one.
Yeah,
and
young Nick Winkler completely bald because you didn't want to spend the money on a haircut, right? So you just shaved your head instead?
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah. I love that move.
I did it for about 4 years, too. I was just like, dude, haircuts are such a scam. This is ridiculous. And shampoo? No, no. Straight soap, baby.
That's smart, man.
Yeah.
A razor.
I had no money.
Just buy a razor, shave it off. You don't have to pay for haircuts. You don't have to pay for product.
No, I just bought clippers. I invested in some clippers.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, a good
no
set
Bic,
of clippers.
No Bic, dude. Just razor with no guard on it.
Growing up in our teenage years, we got professional with our clippers, giving each other haircuts.
Oh, really?
We were like kind of punk rockers, so we didn't really care what the turnout was if we screwed it up. So that helps. We didn't have any job interviews to go to. Well, we did have some job interviews, but the types of jobs, the restaurant
rock and
business,
roll, man. Okay,
yeah.
Or you were punk rock, sorry.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to some more of these mailbag questions. Coming up with Nick Winkler, TV superstar. Al wants to know, how should the 49ers replace players lost in free agency through the draft or with other cheaper free agents?
Yes.
Draft. It's all about the draft. I mean, yeah.
If the 49ers can afford
free agency, they should just bring back their own guys. And those are the guys they already like, and those people earn money for them and played well in their scheme. There might be some, like, if you lose Armstead, maybe there's a budget defensive lineman that you want to bring in. But the 49ers, if they're going to continue this, if this is going to become, say, a dynasty, you got to draft well. You've got to coach up the guys you have. You got to coach up new young players because you're going to lose talent and people are going to get too expensive. You've got to draft well and you've got to develop. You just have to. You have to do that anyway, but especially if you want to stay good for a long period of time. That's the only way. That's the key. And then find value in free agency, you know, and these players that they'll sign won't be on March 18th. It'll be, you know, March 30th and April 18th and after the draft, and finding some value in free agency beyond the first wave of free agents that sign big money contracts.
Yeah. The last few years for the Niners, it's been a lot of, well, there's a ton of cap room. They're going to sign this guy. They got a high draft pick. Like, there's been a lot of hype surrounding free agency and the draft going in as 49er fans, and a lot of hope and a lot of this and that, and it all paid off. I mean, this team went to the Super Bowl, so I gotta be honest with you, I think it's gonna be real quiet on both. I mean, I don't see the Niners trading up in the draft. You know, if anything, they might trade out of that first round, and we don't hear from them on day one. And same with free agency, like you said, I don't know if we'll hear anything except for re-signing their own guys for a few days, and we just got to be patient and know that we're trusting the process still, because how can you not? Lynch and Shanahan have built this thing, and they're headed in the right direction.
Man, I can't find the tweet right now, but there was a really good question about the 49ers draft picks, and it was something like, how many fifth rounders can the 49ers get for their first rounder, because they seem to be really good at drafting in the fifth round?
I like that.
And I did the math. I think they can get like 60 60 fifth round picks if you go by the chart for the value of their one first rounder.
I like it. Get like two this year, two next year, two the year after. Stock up.
It is nice, though. The 49ers do have two fifth round picks, and they've been pretty good. If they can continue to find starters in the fifth round, you are way ahead of the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it sucks you don't have, you know, any of those earlier rounds except for that first, but they make it work.
For the love on Twitter, he wants to know what the secondary outlook strategy is right now. And it's a good question, because right now you would say, well, you just re-sign Ward, all of your starters are back, you're good to go. But when you look ahead an extra year, there's three or four more guys who are all free agents. You got to have a long-term strategy, because all of these players aren't going to be here in 2021. So you absolutely have to look to the draft and start developing some guys. If the 49ers trade down from 31 or even stay at 31, you definitely cannot count out defensive back, whether it's safety or cornerback, and that's even signing Jimmy Ward. So, and a lot of mock drafts have secondary for the 49ers, and when you look at it on the surface, it's not a huge need, but I think going forward, you have to, it kind of ties into offensive tackle, because the 49ers have their starters in place. Joe Staley might be gone after this year, who knows, maybe he plays a couple more years, but you have to look ahead. If you can draft a player in the later rounds, develop yourself a starter, say in the fifth round. Like, imagine that, the 49ers in the fifth round. Draft this high upside offensive tackle, draft this high upside defensive back. Maybe you do have your future starters there, and then you can replace those positions and get lucky. Allow yourself to get lucky, draft some players late that you could potentially develop into some starters, and that'd be the ideal scenario, right? But they do have to look ahead to secondary. What I would probably do is, I would probably put cornerback over safety, just because of the value of the position and because of what the 49ers have in-house. I would go cornerback first, and then next year at this time, if you have an extra starting corner, you could move somebody to safety. You could move Sherman to safety. You have some protection in a lot of positions, and I still want to see what Tarvarius Moore would do, even if Ward leaves. I don't know. How would you look at it? Would you look at it different?
Well, I love what you said right there, and that's that you bring in a cornerback there, and not necessarily because of what you said, but because of a name you said, and that's Richard Sherman. You bring in a young guy so that you have that coach on the field. You have that, you know, who's a guy who's maybe a Hall of Famer someday. And they're teaching him. You know, he gets to sit on the sideline. You don't have to thrust him right in there and make him a starter right out of the get-go. Like, he can sit behind Sherman and watch him and really learn from this guy and get those reps in practice. You know, we remember it a lot when Sherman came on board. There was a lot of him coaching guys up in practice. And, yeah, so for me, man, drafting a quarterback makes a whole lot of sense right there.
I'm looking ahead at Richard Sherman, and he's a tough one because he could play for a while. He's really smart. I don't know if he's a perfect fit at free safety for the 49ers. I'm starting to warm up to the idea of him potentially moving inside, being closer to the line of scrimmage, playing a little strong safety. He could still man up with running backs and maybe some slot receivers and maybe some tight ends, but be closer to the line of scrimmage, be that coach on the field. But then it's like, well, hold on. You're paying Richard Sherman twice as much as you're paying Tart. Are you going to pay Sherman the same amount he's making at corner to see if he can maybe play safety? I don't know if I like that either. So Sherman's a really difficult one. I don't know how to play that out except for just see how much you can squeeze out of the old rag at corner, you know?
Yeah, I do. I do. And that strategy makes sense. You know, you see how this season goes. And, you know, I love the idea of Sherman ending his career here at the 49ers too, because I'd love for him to just jump on board the coaching staff as well, because I mean, the guy's got knowledge and he's got skill and he's been in the game a long time. So yeah, if he's still got, you know, something left in the tank there and you can move him over to strong safety, it makes some sense. It really does. He's always been a pretty good tackler, and you just wonder how he'll handle himself if he has to go to the other side of the field, because he's been really good at locking down that left side of the defense. You know, but can he go over to the right side and follow a slot receiver or follow a running back, especially when he's a year older?
And mentally, I have no doubt that he would be fine with it. That's kind of why I like him at strong safety, because then the athleticism part of it isn't as much of a factor. He won't have as much ground to cover if he's playing that center field, that deep middle. But he can use his smarts, and that, I kind of like a strong safety fit for Sherman, and he could, you know, gain a few pounds even if he needed to, you know, to bulk up there to prevent injury from a little more contact if he's making it inside. But Richard Sherman, Jaquaski Tart, Kaywan Williams, Akella Witherspoon, all free agents after this next year.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely an area they're going to have to address.
And Emmanuel Mosley will be a restricted free agent too, but so, you know, they can probably not lose him. And I like Mosley, and I like Akella Witherspoon. It's just, you have to keep an eye on that. And
yeah.
Yeah, it's not an immediate need, and I don't even think that even if you lose Ward, you have to make a pick there. But it's an interesting conversation, and one of the toughest position groups to evaluate for the 49ers, because the future need is absolutely going to be there, even though they're pretty good now. What do you do if you lose Ward? Who do you pay? Like, of those players, of the big money free agents potentially on the 49ers this offseason, how do you make your team the best next year? If you sign Armstead and lose both Sanders and Ward, or if you lose Armstead and sign both Sanders and Ward?
That's because a tough call. If you had to make a choice right now, which way are you going?
I think you would have to roll the dice a little bit, but I think a better team is potentially if Tarvarius Moore becomes that guy, or maybe you draft a safety high that becomes really good, or you draft a wide receiver that ends up being a stud. Keeping Armstead is the best way to be the best possible team, but it could also kill you at a couple positions.
Yeah,
you're the strongest at defensive line too.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. But, and we saw what Sanders did to that wide receiving corps when he came on board. You know, it was a lot like what Richard Sherman did to that secondary, you know, really just kind of became the leader there and really taught those young guys, you know, how to live their lives and how to run crisp routes and how to train and practice. And what was it? Brush your teeth every morning. You train yourself to do that, right?
Yeah, right. You trained yourself to brush your teeth every morning. No, and that's he made a massive impact. So what happens if you don't re-sign him and all of a sudden in week three you realize, man, we got to do this again, don't we? Because we don't have enough and we need that veteran presence and we're missing it. So that could be tough. Right. And you can't expect that much from a rookie wide receiver. And wide receiver, just like corner that we were talking about there, you and offensive tackle, you have to look ahead, and it's a position that can take a while to develop. So even if you bring Emmanuel Sanders back on a 1 year or 2 year contract, it takes wide receivers a year or two to develop anyway. So you still can't not draft the wide receiver just because you signed Sanders.
Yeah, especially if you feel like you really whiffed on Pettis. I mean, you can't bank on Hurd or Taylor coming back. The injuries are always tricky. You gotta, those are just big, huge question marks glaring right in your face.
One quick note here that I haven't really mentioned on the show. It's something we know is happening behind the scene, but here's a little hard news. Here's a tweet from Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports. He says that the organization, meaning the 49ers organization, is pushing to try to make an extension for DeForest Buckner a reality. We knew that was happening, but I think there's just a little bit more buzz about that, and I think maybe the CBA might be holding some of that up, but it's obviously a priority for the 49ers and maybe more of a priority to sign an extension with Buckner first, so that could lower the salary cap number for Buckner, which allows them to do some other things, but it's still a little bit concerning that they haven't even made contact with Emmanuel Sanders, according to Emmanuel Sanders.
Right. Because that's definitely a guy I'd love to see back in the red and gold next year.
It makes too much sense to bring back Sanders if they can afford it.
And I'd love to see Buckner for the rest of his career in the red and gold.
Oh, absolutely.
That guy's been nothing but a great pro.
Wait, what was your answer? I think I missed it there because we kind of talked in circles about it. You get Armstead or you get Sanders and Ward. Which do you choose?
I'd probably take Sanders and Ward. I just feel like I love Armstead. He had a great year, but that I say the injury thing worries me, but how could it not worry me with Ward as well? I guess the defining factor to me is the influence that Sanders has on that wide receiving core. Plus, he's a great player. I mean, we saw him last year. He developed a rapport real quickly with Garoppolo, and I think that could even, you know, get much better going into year one and a half, if you will.
Yeah, a big key will be what they all cost, how much it costs to bring them all in. And if you pick Sanders and Ward, you might also get a draft pick back for Buckner if you're able to tag and trade him, which might be the tiebreaker. Nick, great chatting with you as always. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow and be back next week with Nick mid-tampering period. And I'll be back tomorrow. Get a few more mailbag questions. Dive into another position group, offensive linemen, on the free agent market right here. Locked On 49ers.
See ya.